Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pressure meter straight off the top. Who's under the most pressure heading into this weekend's round of footy? I think the Dogs are number one to me. It might seem like the Dogs and the Saints should be under the same pressure to win heading into tonight, given they are both two wins and three losses. And this is an eight-point game, and I doubt the top eight at the end of the year will be big enough for both of them. And the Saints played finals last year, so the expectation is high for them to keep their spot, and the Dogs missed the eight last year. So in some regards, there should be more pressure on the Saints, but Ross Lyon is under no pressure as a coach. Things are stable at Moorabbin, and Ross is their guy. Luke Beveridge is under immense pressure at the moment. The fans are getting restless, and the disharmony last year is bubbling up again. And now there's talk that, well, there was talk last night at Fox Footy. I'm not sure if you saw the midweek tackle, but there was talk last night on Fox Footy that Marcus Bontempelli, the captain, is holding out to re-sign. And would he leave at the end of next year? So there was a bit of talk about that last night. So given how much is bubbling around the Western Bulldogs and Luke Beveridge, I think they're number one. I think the Dogs are number one. I've got the Saints number two. Big game tonight. I've got the Crows at number three, which might surprise a few. And give me your top five on the pressure meter, please. 1-300-736-736 or 0433-981116. I've got the Crows at three. You can't win last week, then follow it by losing a game you're expected to win at home against Essendon, a team that finished below you last year. And yet, Matthew Nix, he needs a few ticks. He coached well last week, putting Isaac Rankin in the midfield, amongst other things. But, I mean, it was 3 weeks after the whole world was telling him to put Isaac Rankin into the midfield and change his midfield mix. So if the Crows lose to Essendon, then they drop to 1-5 and their season's on the brink of disaster again. So given the Crows were expected to make the eight pre-season, I think there's a bit of pressure on them. They're still pretty high on the pressure meter for me. They're at number three. And I've got North Melbourne four. Just been talking to Jared Waitley. He thinks I've got my order the wrong way around. It should be Hawthorn four and North Melbourne five. They play each other. Both are winless. I'm glad it's early in the season because if this is round 24, we'll be talking about who's tanking and who wants the number one pick. But they both desperately need a win. They both desperately want to win. And I think North Melbourne's at four. And here's why I'm stuck on North Melbourne rather than Hawthorn being under more pressure to win. Alistair Clarkson is a four-time premiership winning master coach. He has the best young midfield brigade in the AFL. A better midfield than Sam Mitchell's got to work with at Hawthorn at the moment. He's got Luke Davies-Uniacke, Jai Simpkin. He's got Wardlaw, McKercher and Harry Sheasel if he wants to put him into the midfield. And he should. But he has been reluctant to do so. So in terms of their young midfield, he's got a really good young midfield to work with. And he has another weapon that Sam Mitchell doesn't have. He's got arguably the best full forward in the game, Nick Larkey, who kicked 70-plus last year. North can't win a clearance to save their life right now. They were smashed by Geelong's young brigade last week at clearances. So I think there's more pressure on North Melbourne to get the job done than Hawthorn, given the weapons and given Alistair Clarkson is a four-time premiership coach. Your thoughts on that? 1-300-736-736. And maybe Fremantle's lucky not to be in the top five as well. Lose to the West Coast in the Derby, and it's three losses in a row for Fremantle after starting with three wins in a row. So they would be under pressure. Luke in Yarraville's on the line first up. We'll come to your calls on that open line brought to us by Werribee Kia. The pressure meter straight off the top, and then a heap of other stuff to get to as well. Luke, we'll start with you. Great to have your call. Thanks for jumping on.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. I just wanted to talk about something I noticed in Gather Round was the missed potential mark of the centuries. I just feel with the potential, with the athletes coming through the system at the moment and the athletes already in the game, I feel like we're not far off having another mark of the century very, very shortly.
It's good that people are flying for them, Luke, isn't it? The AFL, I think, has loosened the unrealistic attempt interpretation by umpires, maybe accidentally, maybe they did it deliberately. But I like the fact that there's more players, it seems like, this year that are flying for that mark of the century. And there's been a few that have been oh so close.
Yeah, I agree, mate. Look, there was a couple missed quite recently, and they would have been monsters. And I feel like we went through a lull where there wasn't as many opportunities to take big marks in the last couple of years. But it's good to see it up and flying again this year.
Now, am I putting two and two together and getting five here? Is there more coaching that is allowing freedom to be attacking now, other than the coaches in the decade gone by where defence was number one and punch it away first and foremost and don't fly for something unrealistic? It seems like more coaches are giving licence to be attacking at the ball in the air as well.
Yeah, and probably the attacking kicks that are going more inboard, so those 45-degree kicks, I'd say are probably opening up a lot of potential pack marks. I'd probably put it down to that as well.
Mm. Hey, great call, Luke. Love it. Straight off the top, mark of the year contenders. We're probably going to get a few actually caught, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, and get some big mark of the year marks taken. Hold the line. We've got something for you. You've got 18 holes of golf for you and a mate with a cart down at Club Mandalay. Get 18 holes of golf for two with drinks and a cart midweek for just $99. Visit clubmandalay.com.au. Sam in Adelaide, welcome to you. Sam, you want to talk about North Melbourne's midfield? Great to have you.
G'day, Dwayne. Just before we do that, there's more marks because coaches value that intercept more than just punching it out of bounds, mate, and letting the team set up and take the field up the ground. But
yeah, it's a good call.
That North Melbourne midfield, they're all the same type of individual. Like David Giniak, Wardlaw, Powell, they've been the main three at the centre bounds. They're all see-ball, get-ball players. There's no defensive side on that. Wardlaw's an animal in the contest, but they don't have that structure or the balance right. And then you throw in the fact that Tristan Cherry, his ruck work's not that great. Like, he's aggressive around the ground, but how many times did he try and take it out of the ruck the other day against Stanley? That, or he just palms it straight down and the North mid gets sucked into the footy and they don't have that structure on the outside and they just get burned the other way. It's not a great midfield at the moment. They might have some good names, but they're certainly playing below themselves.
Yeah, so should he put Harry Sheasel in there, Sam? Because, look, the most important kick in footy outside of the kick for goal is the kick inside 50. Harry Sheasel is a great kick. He's more value kicking it inside 50 than he is kicking it from half back to the wing, isn't he?
100%. What did he have? Those two in the first quarter against Geelong.
Yeah.
Little chiselers inside, and they resulted in goals. I don't know. You get him in there, but who have they got off half back? Like that, Fisher. Even then, you look at the half back line. They got Fisher, Scott, Sheasel. They're not lockdown players as well. So defensively, they get caught out that way. There's just not a defensive edge in that team whatsoever at the moment.
Yeah, they've got Bailey Scott back there, who's normally a pretty good kick, but he's been under pressure with a lot of his kicks this year. I heard Gary Lyon earlier today on Breakfast talking about putting Zane Dersmet back there at halfback, letting him get a 25-possession game under his belt to lift his confidence as well, which is not crazy. I mean, some of those change-ups I think are worthwhile looking at if I'm Alistair Clarkson. Hey, great to have the discussion with you, Sam, in Adelaide. Really appreciate you jumping on. Shane on the road, you want to talk about Jason Dunster. Welcome to you, Shane.
Hey, Bruno. I tried to get on to Jared this morning. It was a bit hard. It's busy.
Yes.
But why, in your opinion, like my two favourite players back in the day were Dunstall and Lockett, two different reasons. But why do you think it took another 22 years for Dunstall to get elevated to legend, whereas it only took 9 years for Lockett?
That's a really good question. Have they been not elevating as many legends on a regular basis? They don't always elevate one every year, do they? My understanding is they only elevate one every few years. So in the early incarnation of the Hall of Fame, maybe they elevated more and then reached a bit of a nirvana point where they said, okay, well, let's not quite be too rushed to elevate guys to legendary status. We just hold back a little bit more and actually drip them in.
Yeah, not sure. I mean, you would think that you would think that, you know, obviously Dunstall got included into the Hall of Fame before Lockett, but Lockett got, you know, the other way around. Whether it had anything to do with his media career or whatever, I'm not sure. But, you know, Dunstall definitely had a better CV at the end of his career with premierships and whatnot. You know, only 100-odd goals short of you know, coming up to Lockett. But, yeah, it was just an interesting fact point that I'd love Jared's take on it if you can, you know, or someone's within the AFL that can give us a bit more of a,
Yeah. Well, it would have been a good question to ask Jared because he knows more about the Hall of Fame incarnations, the Hall of Fame entry procedure than I do, given he hosts the event. So you're right. He probably would have been a better guy to ask than me. But that's my thoughts off the top of my head anyway. And it's a good question. Shane, appreciate you jumping on. Spiros and Carnegie, welcome to you, Spiros. You got a thought about the Tigers?
Dwayne, how are you?
Good.
I was listening to, I can't remember if I listened to him or if I read that he said that we needed, you know, the breaks coming at a good time because his players were tired. And I was just thinking, it's only round five. And I was just speaking with the producer, Mitch, before he put me through. And he said, I think he was referring to more the young guys because of the injuries we've got. But even the young guys, sure, they couldn't be, you know, needing a break at, you know, with just so many short, it's only five rounds gone. And even the older guys, there's still a fair few premiership players there. I wouldn't have thought that they really would have needed. I mean, it's always good to get it, but did they really need the break?
Oh, yeah. My answer to you, Spiros, is yeah. They've been up for a while with pre-season as well. So you take the pre-season month in probably to account as to how hard they've been working, a lot of these guys. So it might only be round six, but it's really in their footy preparation stage of being up almost 100%. It's probably round nine. So yeah, I think it's a good time. If I was a team that had the offer of one by mid-season or two by spread at round 6 and 15, I'd be taking round 6 and 15 100%, even though, you know, a few teams had the advantage of their season starting a week later because they weren't involved in opening round. But I think Chris Scott is right. If you've got the two by breakup, it's a hell of an advantage. So, no, I like it, and I think they're probably right. Heather in Ferntree Gully, welcome to you, Heather.
Hi, Dwayne. I just want to say that I know Marcus Fondampelli closely, and there's no way, as you know, I've been a member there for years and I'm a volunteer. There's no way on God's earth he would ever leave the Bulldogs. He'd rather cut off his right arm. I don't know what the agenda is for these people, but they've just got it. I mean, already we've got Paul Ugel-Hagen going off with stress reasons. And please realise these people, the players are human beings. They listen to all this rubbish. I know Marcus wouldn't get upset, but we just had Easton on before, and he said that we bounced back. So please, please lay off our players and our coach. It's very distressing.
Appreciate your call, Heather. So for those people who didn't watch Midweek Tackle last night on Fox Footy, it's a new show this year. Scotty Garland, Sam Landsberger, Jay Clark. It's personal reasons is the reason Jamara's missing, by the way, so we don't know what personal reasons it is. Heather's just guessing there, so let's just clarify that and put that on the record. But here's the chat last night, mainly with Scott Gullen on the Bulldogs and Marcus Pontempelli's future. Here's a little bit of last night's Midweek Tackle.
There's a lot of elephants in the room out in the Witten Oval, and this is one of the biggest ones. There is. So while everyone's talking about, you know, Norton re-signing, Jamara, all this English, Marcus Pontempelli comes out at the end of 2025, which is next year.
Next year.
Now, you would think one of the prized players, their best player, you try and get him on one of these 8 or 9 year deals. It hasn't happened. So what the management company and Marcus is sitting back, because I know for a fact over the summer he was very frustrated. Mm-hmm. He spoke to several people about the messiness of the Witten Oval, which has played out with
and
Chris
the
Grant.
Tension?
Tension with Chris Grant, the football director, and Luke Beveridge. Mm. It impacted. They had, as we saw, lost to West Coast, fell out of the finals. Mm. There are people who have things to do with Marcus who have said, I wouldn't be shocked if he left. Now, that's stunning. Mm-hmm. A lot of water's got to go under the bridge. But mm-hmm. the point is, he's very frustrated. Mm-hmm. Now, in the Peter Jackson review,
we're talking about the best player in the competition.
Correct.
Here.
This is big. Mm. Ryan Griffin did leave the Bulldogs. I'll just throw that out. Well, 1 year as captain.
That's where my mind goes. Coach and captain walk out.
He's very loyal, Bont, obviously. He wants to be there, but this is a reality. And if things continue to go down this path, that's what I'm saying, and we get to the end of this year, and he still hasn't re-signed, that is trouble. So the Peter Jackson review, he was a part of it, obviously, being the captain. Mm-hmm. I believe it came down more in favour of Luke Beveridge than Chris Grant, with a suggestion that maybe Chris Grant needs to change his role, which has happened slightly, or potentially walk away for the good of the club.
Yep.
That hasn't happened.
Yep.
They got Matthew Egan in from Geelong. Mm-hmm. He's the conduit. Has it worked? Evidence isn't great at the moment. Mm. So a lot of people are watching how this plays out, including the captain, who's frustrated, and you see it on the weekend.
That was Scotty Gallen last night talking to Sam Landsberger and Jay Clark on the midweek tackle on Fox Footy. So there you go, Bont. Messiness, tension, people to do with Marcus suggesting that he could maybe leave and that he was part of the review and came out in favour of Bevo and over Chris Grant a little. And Chris Grant's still there. So your thoughts on all that? Even though, well, Caro came out Monday night on Footy Classified, said there was tension again after there was tension last year. Bevo came out yesterday, said there was no tension, and here we are again talking about tension last night. So it seems like the tension thing from the Dogs is coming from different angles.